This is going to be a good one. I can feel it.
I'll give it time.
The drop, not the episode. I don't know if this is going to be a good episode yet. I feel it. The sun's silent.
Now let's sit here in the quiet while we wait for it.
That's right.
So we're muted now?
No.
Oh,
this is...
Oh, that was good timing. Okay. That was good timing for that.
Internet, my name is Bill, but you can't find me online anymore. Not really, anyway. 426 Colburn Street East in
Brantford,
Ontario.
It's actually 436.
No, it isn't. Is it? No, it isn't. I just come here. I don't know what the actual number is. 426 Colburn Street
East. It's 436.
Oh, yeah. My other office is 426.
Yeah.
436. Whatever.
If you came to 426 Colburn Street looking for magic cards and board games, you would be in the wrong place.
Go five doors down that way and you'll find us. TheDevilsBench.com or /DevilsBench on most forms of social media. /TheBenchCast if you want to check us out online or don't. I mean, you know.
You can do what you want.
Yeah. I am Bill. Who are you?
Oh, that was good timing for that. Yeah, you can affectionately call me the Safety Ninja, or you can say, hey, you. And then I'll turn around and be like, yeah, what do you need?
I have some call sign confusion issues these days. I'm bouncing between call signs. I'm trying to figure out what my new one's going to be.
Yeah, but keep doing that, though, because I really find that entertaining.
I can't
every
say
time
I'm
I
parole
love.
Anymore because I'm not really, and I'm kind of Tango November these days, but I don't know if that one's going to stick. This evening, super, super excited to introduce our guest this evening.
You're waiting,
I know
you're
him.
Waiting for the drop. I can see
no,
it in
no,
your
no,
eyebrows.
No. I'm kind of waiting for the drop. I know him from the Rumble Academy. And the Rumble Academy is a local spot that you can go down, you know, every once in a while and just get strangled by a bunch of savages. His name is Brian Rumble. He is my jiu-jitsu coach. Like it?
Ah,
I was waiting for it.
Now you can talk at normal speed again.
I had to stop at the right spot. And first of all, his last name is Rumble, which is like, you know, it'd be, just wouldn't have the same oomph if it was like the Dungy Academy. You know what I mean? The Rumble Academy.
The Dungy Dungeon.
Nope, that's stupid. The Rumble Academy, headed off by Brian Rumble. Pass it off to you, Mr. Rumble.
Hi, yeah, I'm Brian. Thanks for inviting me. I do run the Rumble Academy. It is my real name. I had to explain that to people when I first, you know, was competing. Like it was a nom de plume. I had invented it to hit the mats. Yes, I'm Bill's jiu-jitsu coach. I'm a black belt under Marcus Suarez, which is part of the Carlson Gracie team worldwide. I'm a clinical epidemiologist by training. I work for the American Society of Clinical Oncology. I live in Brantford. I'm a husband and a father. And that's me in a nutshell.
Instantly the coolest job we've had on the podcast.
Yeah, and like somehow...
We should have Tom back too. Have an epidemiologist and like the disaster preparedness guy, and then we just won't sleep for a week.
Somehow Bill, the IT guy, just doesn't quite rank up there. As I've gotten to know you over the last couple months, I think I've told you this. Every once in a while, you'll drop this little nugget of Rumble on me. And I'm like, what? You're into that too? And every once in a while, like, I just have to remind you that you are probably one of the most interesting people I know. Because I'll bring something to him. I'll say something like, I'll say to my wife, here's a perfect example. Oh, I'm going to show Coach this for sure. Definitely he's never heard of this. This is going to rock his world. Oh, yeah, I have four of those. Yeah, I've actually been doing that since the 80s, and I know the guy that developed it. And I guess... To jump right in here, you have unofficially been the VR correspondent in my life. Like if I hear about something that's really cool, I'll pass by and say, hey, have you heard of this? And every once in a while, you will either post something on Facebook or be talking about something. Most recently, and this is what I wanted to start you off with, was this this virtual... New Year's Eve party that yeah. you Do I say that you attended?
I think I did. I think
logged into.
Right? Yeah, because it's almost telepresence, right? So I do live here, but I work in the U.S. So all of my work is through WebEx conferences, teleconferences. Sure. And these are with people that are local, or they could be anywhere on the planet. But we were at a meeting. You would say I was at a meeting today, or yeah. I was on, you know, you could have been on a call. And I think that actually being someplace, like, how do you define being there? Physically being there?
Here we go, folks.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
5 minutes in.
The ayahuasca is coming out.
Have you, you know, when I logged into this room, so it's not very long before what you're doing with the touch controllers, moving around, turning, becomes secondary. Like when you're in a game or when you're in a book, you know, when you're really into a book, you cease to see words on a page, and it becomes the best movie you've ever watched, taking place completely within your mind.
Sure.
Because that's how we experience everything. And, you know, this is going into Cartesian philosophy, which we were kind of talking about with VR. But everything that we experience in this reality is by our brain through our senses. So when you put this mask on, and everything that you see, no matter where you turn your head, is within this virtual world. And when your fingers forget that they're nudging you forward and the other one is turning you, it becomes like you're actually doing it.
Right.
And then that kind of passes away. And you realize that you've just been standing talking to somebody who's essentially a clothes peg with a face. It's very cartoony.
Yeah, like a little avatar or something.
But, you know... because we all have the, you know, if they're on a Vive, they have the controllers. I'm on Oculus. I have those controllers. And some people are on Gear VR. And you can tell them because they have no hands. They're just kind of walking around bumping into shit. But it doesn't feel like you're watching a screen. It's a different experience than even playing a game. Even something that's very graphically intense like Skyrim, where it's like, wow, this is almost photorealistic graphics. It's cartoony. But because you're so immersed in it, the separation between this is reality and this is the virtual reality just disappears. And after I'd been there for about a half an hour, and you're sitting on a sofa, you're watching the screen, they're doing the, you know, the New Year's Eve show, and they're interviewing the people on the street, and you're watching Mariah Carey fail and, you know, everything, you forget that you're not actually here with these people. They're all around the world, and we've come together for this experience, the shared experience, and it transcends, like, team gaming. It transcends that, because then you're still just looking at this flat, two-dimensional thing in front of you. If you look left, you're looking at your hallway. If you look right, you're looking at a wall. This is, if I look right, I'm looking at a different part of this room. It was so bizarre, because you know how parties separate into the little groups, like you've got the talking group, and then you've got the chilling group sitting on the sofas, just, you know, they're sliding out as the night progresses, and then you've got the few people all by themselves that don't know that many people, or just don't know what to say, or just don't want to be from, you know, with the crowd. I wanted to explore the place we were in. There was this huge screen, there's a little sunken area with sofas. There was a fireplace behind, and then there was a hall that you could go out. So I go down the hall, and there's a patio that went out onto outside. It was like a deck, and there's a chair at the end. I'm like, that's a cool-looking chair. It was like one of those 60s egg chairs. So okay. I go there, and there's a guy sitting in it, just looking out. And I'm like, this is what I would experience if I went to a New Year's Eve party. Yeah. It would be the talking people, there would be the chilling people, the people over by the fireplace, and then that one guy that doesn't know many people who's just hiding from everybody. So even in a virtual world, you get all of these archetypes of people. You had the loner. He purposefully put on his headset, went to a New Year's Eve party, and then sat by himself.
That's so interesting.
Which makes you wonder if he is that guy in real life, or if he's playing that guy through the virtual reality. You know what I mean? If he's trying for a new experience or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, he could have chose. So this place, It's called Alt Space. So Josh Perry has been there because he recognized it right away.
Has been there. The language, you see, has been
there. It's a place, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have...
Wacky.
They have one. So you can design your own space and invite people there. So there's puzzles and games and stuff. But there's a couple people. There's one card game called Dungeon Explore or something where... Do you know what it is? It's like card games. You put your cards along the side and you get items and stuff. Anyway, the developers of the game made a room where you can go and play this game and they will, you know, adjudicate it. So you can learn, you know, it's there's a Cards Against Humanity room. But there's one where they want people to go and play Pathfinder D&D. And it's set up with like 8-bit axes on the wall, and you can just grab it off the wall and bonk people on the head with it and stuff. You can grab maces, and the table, it's all 8-bit. Like, they could make it look like this, but they've chose to make it look the way they did because it's very evocative. I mean, if you were a kid growing up in the Nintendo years, those graphics of, you see a Zelda 2 Link.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that gets your neurons firing. That's very exciting.
So pulls you right in.
You don't want it to look better, maybe. So they've made it... you know, very specific style. And it speaks to kids because look at the popularity of Minecraft, which is essentially garbage graphics.
Yeah.
But, that's not what you're there for. You're not there for great graphics. You're there for a great experience. And VR, there is a Minecraft VR that you can get on the Oculus Store. And I played it and it's like, wow, this is like, I understand why kids get pulled in.
Oh, I'm afraid of that, man. I would vanish off the face of the planet.
Yeah. So, and I think that, VR for me, and I was, 18 in 84 when William Gibson's Neuromancer came out, which kind of changed the world of science fiction. He was talking about a world where virtual reality was this place you could go, cyberspace, coined that term. And I was reading it then, I have the early Omni magazine issue with Johnny Mnemonic. And, this was the science fiction that I was reading when I was like 13, 14, 15, 18 in 84, Neuromancer's published. And it really changed that whole paradigm of science fiction. It went from being space opera and these romantic tales about exploring the universe. And it was basically techno porn for 18-year-old, science nerds. And it became something different. William Gibson showed us the grit and the dirt in the corners. And these were like lowlifes just on the fringe of society, but they had access to this other world through this technology. So, it took this long for the world to catch up to my expectations, but it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait because I can remember going to the home show in like 92 at the Civic Center. And there was a company, it was run by a guy named Jaron Lanier, who wrote You Are Not a Gadget. But he had a company called Virtuality, which had those giant virtual reality headsets at the day. And you stood in this circular thing. And they were tens of thousands of dollars for a very crappy virtual experience. And you could pay like $10 to do a 5-minute simulation on it, right? And I was like, this is, the future. This is coming next, week and the next couple of years. And then his company fizzled. It's hard to make money when it costs you $20,000 and then you charge people 10 to use it. But
if you had 10 grand, you'd be making it rain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would have had one. It would have been collecting dust like everything else in my crawl space. But it took a while for reality to catch up. But I mean, Oculus Rift, the Vive, these things are so relatively inexpensive. They're ridiculously cheap compared to what they could be or should be, maybe.
Yeah.
But, competition keeps the price low and technology's caught up to our expectations. Everybody should have this. It's amazing.
another thing I was hoping you could speak on, because I tried to relay this to Wyatt. I tried to tell basically everybody here at DB about this experience that you had and told me about, but because I wasn't there, I couldn't really accurately. I was like, no, it was kind of like that, but not really. You were telling me about a concert that you went to, or like a virtual show with Reggie Watts,
yeah.
And that he had provided for you this souvenir or something. I was hoping you could speak on that. Like, he signed something?
Oh, okay. So it wasn't Reggie Watts.
Oh, okay.
I told two stories that night. So I'll tell the Reggie Watts one.
Probably
so.
After I was done being like absolutely trounced by his
Oh, yeah, Reggie Watts signed it for you. Okay.
Yeah. No, he is actually really involved with this one that I was talking about, Alt Space. So he is doing shows all the time. And you can actually go to his shows. And they've created an avatar. So they put a lot of thought into this on like the 8-bit tables and stuff. It looks like him. And he'll do shows. And it's recorded. I think that some of them are on YouTube. So you can go and see what it's like. But they also did a talent show where you could just say, I can tell a joke or I can sing a song or whatever. And you would send in your postcard and they would tell you if they wanted you to come on. And then everybody was taking their turns in that room that where we had the New Year's Eve thing. And they would go up and do their little bit and people would be like, boo. It was like the Gong Show, right? Very informal, yeah. Very cheesy. But it was like amateur mic night at a local bar. But when you're there, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're at amateur night at the local bar. It's very odd. Once you're in there and you're moving around, I don't know, what's your experience with VR? You've tried it on your phone?
Yeah.
So you have a cardboard or something?
We got the opportunity to try a Oculus that was hooked up to a Leap motion controller.
Okay, so your hands and everything and working.
Like when you physically duck down, there was this like wizard or something.
Yeah, he was throwing fireballs at you.
Oh, was it Unforgiven?
I can't remember the name.
It was a tech demo at a con.
Yeah, okay. You were on a platform. He was on a platform across you. He'd throw fireballs at you. Yeah. You'd duck and you'd have to turn your fist.
Shield with this hand. Okay, so I have that game. I think it's
called... Of course he does.
Forsaken. Yeah. Well, it was actually bundled with the touch controllers. So if you pre-ordered the touch controllers,
Brian
it
is
was
the
one
kid.
Of the...
You know, when you're a kid and there's always that one kid, when you go to his house and you're like, oh,
I'm never going home.
You have a toy room?
Yeah. I think that a lot of my adult life, like a lot of people, you know, I didn't have a lot when I was growing up. And a lot of my adult life has been satisfying, you know, nurturing the inner child. You know, I thought I was alone in this because like all the role playing games that I wanted to play, I've sought them out on eBay. So I have all these older and out of print stuff that I just like the original Traveler. Like I haven't even played it, but I got it. Yeah. I got that box set.
The real world equivalent of Steam. It's like, oh, I want this. And then you buy it, but you never open the
package. Yes. Same with like I counted. I have about 70 Steam games that I bought, never even opened.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
What's that website?
Oh, don't. It's like Steam Calculator or something? Yeah. Have you done that?
No, but you were telling me. See, I was scared. It was like when people trick you into doing your slash played and WoW, and you're like, oh my God,
I've got like a mortgage payment and unplayed video games that I can't return.
They aren't even tangible.
I can't
items.
Have a yard sale. I could have a virtual yard sale for my Steam games.
And it used to now be you could something. Gift them. Can you still?
No, once they're
unplayed?
On your account.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all over but
Once
the crying.
Once you use that key, yeah. I think, you know, I don't know who said this quote, but I believe it. I know looking at my own behavior, but it's when I buy a book, it's not necessarily because I want to read the book. I'm trying to buy the time that would allow me to read the book. And I think that with games and a lot of this stuff is I'm so busy, you know, I work a lot and I have kids and, you know, I'm doing the JITS thing.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of free time, but I always think I'd like to read that book or I'd like to watch that movie or I'd like to play this game.
Yeah.
And I buy it and thinking, you know, in the hope, I'm optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
But in the hope that someday I'll be able to have the time to do these things.
I just got a package from Amazon. And it was just like a bundle of bad decisions. There's like 5 books that I know it's going to take me a year to read all of them.
I'm just buying them to move them around my kitchen now.
And they're just like, hey, you know this book's on 50% off? And I'll ship it to you for free. And you'll get it tomorrow, Bill. How's that sound?
Yeah. Amazon is basically a literary crack dealer. You know, like I over Christmas... What I like to do is I like to plug all the books I want into my wish list. Because what I do is I just skim. I just skim because books are, like, cookbooks especially are my thing, or books on plants and stuff like that. So I'm skimming through, and I'm like, add to wish list. Add to wish list. It's basically, like, it has currency attached to it, but it's basically, like, the version of just skimming through your Facebook timeline and just clicking like on stuff that piques your interest. Yeah. And then you're sitting there looking at your wish list, and you're like, well, now I need to own all these. So it's basically my task is to own all these books. And over Boxing Day, Christmas, when things started to go on sale, I had, like, 7 books in there, and I'm like, all right, I got a couple Amazon gift cards. I'll just empty out my wish list. I'll put all the books on my wish list. And now my wish list is about 11 strong again. So it's like, oh no, it's happening again.
Yeah. Well, it's essentially Steam for physical objects.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's got the wish list. Oh. Things go on sale. And you find yourself buying stuff at half price that you would never have bought at full price. But because it's half, you're like, well, I'm saving money by buying this.
Read
which is
all
ridiculous.
Of this podcast equipment. All of it was just like...
I can sit here in front of you and tell you the logistics of like being fiscally responsible. And it's like, if you don't need that widget, if the widget costs $100 and you don't need it, you don't need it for $20. If you don't need it, you don't need it for $5. Put me in front of a laptop with something I'm moderately interested in. It's like, it's 4 cents. It's 4 cents less than it was when I added it to my wish list. I'll buy two. Like,
what do you mean a touchscreen fan controller? Ugh. Of course I need a touchscreen fan controller. For the computer that sits under my desk and just sits there.
Yeah.
It's not
you
even
couldn't
like
reach
I'm down
it if you wanted to.
Adjusting speeds and monitoring my temperatures. No. It just glows. It's just, you know, my stupid computer.
Yeah, but it's 13% off.
Yeah, VR has always been one of those things, I think until very, very recently, that I've always seen as just out of reach. Like, if a new technology was released, I had always attributed it to, well, startup cost of this is going to cost me X amount of dollars. I can't really get into it, so I might as well not pay attention to it. But then I see something like that bird simulator from a couple years back with the guy on the big, he's laying down on his belly with his arms out with mechanical wings, and they're blowing air on him. And he's playing this bird simulator where the wings make the wings flap. And I'm like, I would never go to work again. I'd never do anything again. I'd be... Like, there's that one famous image of, it's like a satirical image of this guy who's very malnourished, and you can see all his ribs poking out, and he's sitting on, like, a pile of Chinese food boxes and pizza boxes, and he's curled up, and all of his joints are disfigured, but he's got that Oculus Rift on. It's like that, right? It's about a balance, but in the same sense, like, I almost don't want to try Skyrim on it. I don't want to try Fallout on it.
I made that my... profile pic after I got my Oculus. When it was delivered, I posted that I'd got it, and then I posted the pic and said, me in 6 months.
Yeah.
And there's a couple. There's one where it's the couple, and the one is blowing their brains out, and outside it's like Facebook and Twitter and
yeah,
all of these things. Because I think that people... I think that that's allegory, though, showing that you can get lost in the virtual world of social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I think a lot of people, especially young people, I think that a lot of... So I think that my cohort, and you know, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I just observing behaviors, people my age use social media as this is what I did, but we don't artificially construct experiences just to post on social media, which I do see the young, like millennials and the younger people doing. So yeah. A couple will be arguing at a restaurant and one of them will pull out a phone and then she'll lean in and, you know, do the peace sign, smile, picture snapped, and then they just go back to arguing.
Yeah.
And, you know, their lives are, it's all about optics and what other people think, and they're setting up artificial life experiences to satisfy social media demands. And my generation is more, here's my new mower, click. You know, it's
slightly tilted.
Yeah, it's more real, right? I think that, you know, we can't be bothered, but I think it depends on what you do. There's a lot of people my age that lost their jobs in whatever they were doing and they became social media consultants. So
yeah.
I think that a lot of what they're doing is it's their lives are all optics and perception.
We've been on this
yeah.
train of thought now for probably 3 weeks. Wyatt deleted his Facebook over the Christmas break. And I say that like it's some sort of act of bravery or courage.
Yeah, it sounds like I got diagnosed with something or something. He's fighting the good fight.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. I know. I already say it.
This is like when I hear people say, I'm quitting WoW. I'm like, yeah, I've been there. You'll be back.
Well, right in my veins.
You always call it too, which ties in exactly what you were describing, is that it's your online highlight reel. You know, like I explained, and it's short. This is kind of what pushed me down the path to be like, I don't need this in my life anymore. You had commented on somebody's thing, and it showed, even though I didn't I didn't have like hardly anybody on my list. It showed up in my timeline, and you were telling me about the story through Discord. And so I saw that, and since we were talking about it earlier in the night, and now it's in front of me, I decided to click on it and read like the comments that you were describing to us. And I saw all the people we used to go to high school with. So I just started clicking on people. And all these people just, I mean, I have a normal average life. I don't have anything to be ashamed of or sad about, but anything to be, you know, puff-chested about or anything like that. I'm just having an average life. And so, too, are all these people I clicked on. And for some reason, because they were having an average life and I was having an average life, too, for some reason I felt like, no, like, I need to, like, people would have pictures of themselves on vacation. I'm like, I don't have any pictures of myself on vacation. So compared to them, at least in the profile game, I'm losing, right? And I legit, for maybe about 6-7 minutes, but felt like an eternity, actually felt bad in my real life. Because I was looking at people's like profile pictures, and I'm like, what is this doing to me? Because 10 minutes ago, I was happy. Here's people I haven't seen in 6 years and probably will never talk to. But I saw their virtual highlight reel, and it was more impressive than mine.
Yeah.
And I actually, literally, that transcribed into my real brain, and I actually felt bad about myself about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I got to get off this thing.
That's yeah. That's real. That's documented, well documented.
Yeah.
If I can use your term, within our cohort, the link between anxiety and depression and social media use, that's well documented. It turns into one of those things where it's just balance. And I think what you and I are going through, separately, of course, but together in the sense that we're experiencing a lot of the same things and a lot of the same feelings, is that the pendulum has swung too far to one side. And I grew up with the internet. Like, I had 11 GeoCities pages and Angel Fire pages or pages and stuff like that. Like, I was on the old internet, not BBS old, but the fledgling start of the World Wide Web, we'll say, as we know it today. And so, like, I've made it a point to be on and in the latest thing online. So when it was Facebook, it was Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. When Reddit was fighting and doing the infighting thing, I switched over to Vote because Vote's the new thing. And then I switched back to Reddit because, and so on, it continued.
It's too tiring for me.
And when the pendulum goes too far that way, you feel it the same way you do when it goes too far the other way. If you completely disconnect from everybody, you feel lonely. But in the same sense, you know, you just have to measure what it's worth to you, I think. And what the heck that's going to mean when, like, for example, when we're talking about this kind of thing, usually I relate it back to my son, because I can see him as a little 3.5-year-old walking around with an iPad watching Blippi. And I'm like, I don't know if that's different necessarily than me watching Sesame Street when I was a kid, but it's also just kind of weird for some reason. I really can't put my finger on it. And then I think about, okay, so what would Facebook or the future of social interacting online look like with VR? And if that's the future, like everybody positively says it is, what's that going to look like for my kid in a future where it would be even more immersive and even more captivating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, you know, your kids, my kids are going to be digital natives.
Yeah.
And you almost were. So
just about.
And you know, my experience with the internet was CompuServe. So I was an early CompuServe subscriber. But yeah.
That's old internet.
Yeah, that's old internet, late 80s, early 90s. So I was a subscriber in 91, 92. But I was older. I was, you know, a lot of my friends were on BBSs. But I missed quite a bit because I had crappy computers. Like when I was a kid, my first computer was built. So it was a kit, a ZX81, if you remember Sinclair. They were black. They were about this big. They had a membrane keyboard. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm a member of a hardware hacker Facebook group. That was my first computer. Now, the last computer that I bought was a Pine 64, which I also built. So I just thought it was funny that the first computer I bought and the last computer I bought were both kits that had to be put together with mine own hands. But yeah. It was interesting because, you know, you're putting the ribbon cable on the you know, capacitive screen, 8-inch tablet. Oh, man. I could have made it anything. I could have put Linux on it, but I put Android because it was more useful for me as a tablet. But, you know, my kids will be walking around as digital natives. It would be different. It would be odd for them not to have access to this technology. And I think it's whatever you grow up with. Like, we grew up with television, which was something that was novel to my parents' generation. And I think that all new technology... So if you go back in history, and there was a woman who published a book, and it was about technology as a moral panic. So whenever a new technology happens, everybody starts freaking out about it. And the first things they do... there were three things that are almost always universally applied to any new technology that's viewed as this. And one is... it will be harmful to women and children. It will hurt our ability to differentiate fantasy from reality, and something else, like a slippery slope argument, something like that. And if you go back in time, you think about Dungeons and Dragons epidemic of the 80s.
Totally.
Think of the children, you know, it will hurt their ability to determine the difference between fantasy and reality. That was probably the biggest argument. They don't know that this is a game, right? That was what got it banned from places. If you look at television, I mean, when television came, and even moving pictures, they were like, people will go insane because it's different from a play, where a play, you know, you're in this spot. But when you're in front of a theater, these movies, it's like magic, right? Think of the children. What effect will it have? And I think that there's an essay that can be found online, and it was talking about ancient Greek plays, how anything beyond the ancient Greek plays would hurt people's ability to differentiate, because they were very formalized, the structure. So people knew that they were in this, viewing this very artificially constructed entertainment. And somebody wanted to do like a free form play. He wanted to break from the structure of the classic Greek drama. And he's like, people will lose the ability to differentiate fantasy from reality. So I think that argument will be applied to any new technology, or even, you know, fantasy role-playing games.
Sure.
So, you know, technology is a moral panic. Any new technology, and VR is just the new one. I mean, it was television in my parents' generation. We're creating a generation of drones. They just sit there watching their black and white TV wearing their cowboy suits.
They're already here. Like, look at anyone on a bus. Look at anyone on a bus, or if you're on a GO train, just don't be on your phone and look at the other GO train as it goes by. Everybody's like this.
But you know what? I had a picture I posted on Facebook, because I'm a Facebook junkie, because I do work at home and it's like my social interaction, right?
Sure.
So I can't talk to people.
It's different.
Other than through social media.
For sure.
So, but it was a picture of people on a New York City subway in like 1890, and they were talking about the harm of this new technology, and it was newspapers. Every single person had their face in front of a newspaper. Yeah. There wasn't a single person talking or looking at anybody else. So, you know, the problem remains the same. It's just that the technology vector has changed. So we get, our technology's changed. But at one time, printing was the most revolutionary technology man had ever had. When Gutenberg brought out the press, and you no longer had to transcribe long form writing by hand.
Yeah.
But could you imagine writing a book? You could just crank a book out in a couple hours. I mean, that was probably the most changing technology of its time. And we just have faster and better ways of spitting out words.
To crank. Yeah.
To crank. We have better cranks. But, you know, you know, technology is just a vector. And, you know, I take the engineering perspective of technology. I look at it as value neutral, and it's neither good nor bad. It's what we do with it that can be viewed as good or bad.
I agree with that. I was just talking with somebody today at lunch about, you know, kind of things like that, because Bill's got onto this website, which we'll probably dedicate an entire show to soon enough. But there was an article on it called The Need for the New Strenuous Age or something like that. And I found it really interesting. Just like you gave that example of the New York City subway, they were saying there was all these little clips or little excerpts in this article that basically saying X technology is going to, or specialization, like even, it's not too long ago that manufacturing started developing, like, you know, assembly line and specialization and things like that.
A grandma ago.
Yeah, where, you know, before you would have a guy who would build a chair, and his job was to take all the pieces of the chair, or all the wood, cut the wood, plane the wood, cut it into parts of the chair, and Ralph put a chair together today. And eventually it got to the point where, Ralph, all you're doing is just planing the wood. And then, Tony, you're cutting the wood. And Steve, you're putting chairs together. And all of a sudden, three guys doing it like that could make more than three times the chairs. And just like the printing press, where it took forever for them to get the idea of the printing press, put the printing press together. But once the printing press exists, the baseline is now the printing press.
Yeah.
And we were talking about our kids, and I was basically just doing my own Benchcast episode in the lunchroom, like all the concepts we talk about all the time. But the idea of kids growing up, and my kid, I'm going to have a kid soon, and what his life will be like interacting with technology. And the thing is, you were saying about VR, how at the home show at the Civic Center years ago, it seemed so close, but it was so far. Now it's going to be so exponential to become, VR will soon be, you know, the old thing, and there'll be a new thing soon, because every time, every new printing press we have, it resets what the baseline is. And now when my kid's born, VR is going to already be a reality, and it's just going to be like, default for him is VR exists. So that generation is going to grow up already knowing what Wi-Fi is. Already, they won't have to learn anything. It's already there. So I wonder how quickly VR will progress, and then what the next, you know, violent video games or TV or Dungeons and Dragons. Or remember when, like, the big panic was, what was it? Like, satanic music?
Oh, yeah. Marilyn Manson and Eminem.
And they used to put, like, CDs and then they'd run them over with a bulldozer. That was, like, in our lifetime ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
And that happened, you know, that was in my parents' lifetime, though.
Yeah.
I think the earliest ones were in the 60s when they were burning Elvis records.
Yeah.
That's old, right? And I grew up with the whole backmasking panic where
Led Zeppelin, you know, backwards.
Led Zeppelin, and, you know, it's just a reality. And I think that, you know, anything that you don't like, for whatever reason, you will find things to hate about it that are, you know, not really germane to the thing itself. Like, you know, I saw a woman in a mall with a t-shirt, and it was like, if you hate somebody, no matter what they do, you'll find fault with it. And on the back it said, oh yeah, there's that bitch over there eating chips. Like, no matter what they do, you won't like it.
All right, so let's take a wild swing at it then. What's going to be the next thing that is ruining our children's morality? I personally think it's going to be like a blend of VR and real life, augmented reality, but like an almost invisible layer. You know what I mean? What was that one comic of, hold on.
Curly, what's that one comic with the guy, his name Spider or something?
Oh, Transmetropolitan.
That's the one.
Spider Jerusalem.
Yeah, that one. It's going to be a lot like that, I think. Have you read that yet?
No.
It's kind of terrifying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's old, too. It's 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a classic cyberpunk comic. But I agree. Actually, I think it's going to be that and a combination of that, the shame that my generation would have felt about certain things being out there are just considered normal. So I think all society's rules are based on accepted norms, and all of our behavior within that society is normative by definition. And, if somebody had been caught. So I can actually remember there was a friend of mine whose girlfriend took Polaroids of him buck naked and they broke up. And, we were all at a party and Polaroids were getting passed around the room and people were laughing their asses off.
Yeah, of course.
And he had no idea what was going on and they just got passed from one to the other.
Yeah.
And the last person to see them kind of looked at it, laughed their ass off and walked over and handed it to him. He was the last one in on the joke.
Oh, gee.
And he took it and just turned around and laughed. Everybody had seen him naked, all of his friends.
Yeah.
And she did it to be a bitch. But it worked. I mean, that was a good burn.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
When would this have happened? Like 30 years ago. And there it is.
That's gotta be what it is, right? It's gotta be like,
and kids today wouldn't care though. I think that's it. It, like that behavior, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen all my friends' girlfriends naked, right? They just show me on the phone. Like that shame that keeps young people in line with social norms
yeah.
is becoming wiped out. It's getting erased. So it's like mm-hmm. things that would have made people from my generation just turn red and want to crawl up our own ass to get away. Kids today are just taking in stride, like, oh yeah, he sent all my nudes to, you know, some girls all over.
They
friends.
Have a name now.
Yeah, sent all my nudes. It's,
yeah, my nudes, weird? And everyone knows what that means.
Yeah,
and it has a term.
And I think about my kids' generation. It's just it won't faze them. It'll just be part of growing up, and that worries me because like a lot of kids that would have been hitting 20s now were of that generation where they were still shamed when this happened and yeah. there were suicides and people would move and try to get a new identity and their parents would try to shield them. But it's becoming so common now that people have, like when it becomes, if it's once, right? Like the reason why we all remember Jack the Ripper was because at that time it was such a abhorrent crime
yeah.
that it shocked the world. Stuff like that happens all the time now, and we're not as shocked because right. of the count, like the frequency. When something hits a certain threshold, you're like, oh, another Jack the Ripper.
I mean,
old news now,
just
right?
Put it this way, right? The president-elect, the front page of Reddit this morning, I pop on Reddit after all my morning stuff is done so that I can start my day with some mindless crap. And something, something, Donald Trump, something, something, prostitutes, something, something, urination. And I was like, that guy, so that's just a reflection. I'm not saying nothing about Donald Trump. I could care less. But it's a reflection of where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you extrapolate that out to the furthest, like what we're talking about, what the future is going to, it must look like some sort of like, so Trans Metropolitan has like this world where he's walking through and there's these holographic ads that know what you like and they display something to you but not to Brian.
I'm cool with that.
And like there's, you know, rampant open and legal drug use and weird body modifications and techno body modifications. That's got to be what it's going to look like. And there's like the part of me that's an IT guy and just is invested in tech and like the futurist in me is like, nice. Yeah, hey, sign me up. I would be down today if there was some sort of embedded tech or some sort of chip system I could put inside myself without any threat to my body itself. I'd probably do it. But then there's that old, like, the part of me that my grandpa instilled, that, like, that old meat and potatoes kind of red-blooded Canadian guy where I'm like, I don't know if we're headed down the right path. You know, it's just, I can't reconcile the two, but
I think it really comes down to how much do you want to participate in contemporary culture? So for me, I'm all in. So I'm on, you know, I'm a very active Facebook user.
Yeah.
Should I disclose I'm a stockholder? I should probably.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you just did. We don't edit this, so there
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, you can't take it back.
I feel like I should, though, because I feel like a shill if I don't, right? Yeah. And in my work, I have to disclose things, so
yeah.
I feel better about that.
Yeah.
But I bought it, though, because I'm confident that the platform will succeed. You know, why I chose Oculus over the Vive.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm a Facebook stockholder and
yeah,
I have
yeah.
faith in Facebook. But, you know, if you want to be an active participant in contemporary culture in North America, a lot of it is dependent on how immersed you are in social media. Like, where do you get your news? My generation, and I'm a cord cutter, so I don't have any cable TV in the house.
Yep.
I only get my news on the internet.
Yep.
And then it becomes... And the way news used to work is they would tell you what they thought the newsworthy stories were.
Right.
And you would take from it what you could. And newspaper actually did a better job of that than television. Because television, you know, how many stories can you cover in an hour? Where
absolutely.
It takes you more than an hour to read a newspaper. They give you all the news. But I curate my own news. So my front page of Reddit are just the subreddits that I subscribe to. And when I find that, you know... things are dropping in my interest, I just unsubscribe. I add new stuff and it's very organic, ever evolving, you know, page because it is dependent upon my interests and stuff. And same with my Twitter feed. I mean, it's very highly curated and I really only see what I want to see, but it's the stories that are interesting to me. But that keeps me engaged, though. It becomes a self-fulfilling cycle where I engage with the news sources that keep me engaged and that increases my engagement. I'm more likely to go back. So I'm on Reddit multiple times through the day. It's it's been 5 minutes since I've checked Reddit. Better check Reddit.
Maybe there's some world event that I can keep up with live as it happens.
Right.
No kidding.
You know, and you know, we live in interesting times, these modern times. That's, you know, an axiom, but it, never before in human history have we had access to so much information and,
sure.
and been so in control of the information that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't want to be a part of Facebook, so you've minimized your exposure to these things. But you can still get what you want out of Reddit, maybe.
Yeah.
But you can reduce that down. You can subscribe to two subreddits
just,
if you want.
Just reduction at this point. And yeah. I think that has more to do with, like you were saying, when you become disinterested in something, you unsubscribe.
Yes.
Fair. And I could have done that with my old Facebook account. I could have essentially unsubscribed from people that, A, I don't even know, who are, like, usually it's the people I don't even know who post these giant tirades about, or here's the perfect example. A user on Facebook that I don't know, that I added, you know, I don't even know how I got them to be a part of my experience there, but they would always post pictures of dogs that had either been killed or beaten. And like, it was this thing about like, hey, animal abuse exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I know that. But you're not, like, instead, post a picture of you with your new SPCA uniform on. Show me that you're actually doing something actively.
Slacktivism.
Instead of just, like, if that's your version of like, well, everybody has to know about this. Here's a picture of a dog that just got its head kicked in. I'm like, I know that happens. That's obviously terrible. It's obviously terrible. What are you getting at here? You know, and
you're
so,
supposed to comment, I wish there was a dislike button.
I should have just, and the other reason I got rid of that account too is I got a, when I'm at work, I listen to one of two things. I listen to podcasts that I'm subscribed to because I put a lot of systems together and I'm always in server rooms and it's boring. Or I listen to like DEF CON or security conference talks. And I was listening to this one about Facebook and social media in general and about when's the last time you checked out your feed and just what have you posted. So I went on and I was like, oh my God, there's stuff on there from like 10 years ago that I don't believe anymore, but that's out there about Bill. And that Bill, that version of Bill, hadn't curated or hadn't filtered or edited what he was putting out because he was just using Facebook as this soapbox to be like, I'm a libertarian and I think that Alex Jones is the, you know, like, and it just, I don't, it's not a reflection of who I am. It's maybe a reflection of who I was, and that person was not concerned at all about the future of data and the internet. So I feel like now I can have a much firmer grasp on what I'm actually sharing and that whole oversharing thing. Anyways, it's going to get me all going here. Before we knock this thing out of the park here, we have a question to drop on you, and I have a feeling this is going to be most interesting response.
We haven't been able to do this one in a while.
For a while.
Do you want to give them the disclaimer before I drop it?
Yeah, I'll give the disclaimer. Okay. And if I screw it up.
You will. Me.
Okay, I know.
It's part of the shtick.
I know, yeah. Okay, so we're about to ask you a question, very important question. You can change your mind at any time, and that includes tomorrow night if you walk out of here and you're like, oh man, I totally forgot about this. Like, as you're slipping your arm ever carefully and slowly under my chin to choke me unconscious, you can be like, by the way,
I forgot Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Change your mind at any time, including in the future. You can include entire series as one response. So you don't necessarily have to fill up four of your responses with four different titles from the same series. And
No particular order.
No particular order. We're not asking for a top five, just five separate responses.
Of your top five video games of all time.
top five video games.
Oh, yeah. And then I like watching people's eyes do this thing, and they're like, but I wasn't thinking about this
the whole 5 minutes ago. The whole, like, clumsy word salad thing we do is all about distracting you from when the question comes.
Except I won't be able to walk away from this thinking like, oh yeah, we totally got him.
Well, and then now, we stall like we're doing right now, so it gives you time to think about it.
I know what my number one is.
Online.
No, I know what my number one is, so I can say that with confidence. I have played it more than any game ever, and I've quit it in rage. And
I know what it is.
And yeah, it's WoW. It's
absolutely.
World of
Warcraft. Yeah.
I mean, I started playing it in October 2015. I had
You just started back into wow.
Sorry, no. Oh. It was 1 year after launch. 05.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I was like, wow, that's a quick souring. That's
no,
real quick.
Sorry. Yeah, 2005, and I have actually been in the same guild the whole time. And it's a really solid group of guys. So shout out to the Solemnic Knights on Kirin Tor.
Nice.
Love you guys.
That server is still around. I remember that server.
Yeah,
I was never on it.
It was really popular. And I have one of the guides for WoW. And all the people that did the contributing chapters were all Kirin Tor people. Because they had shout outs to the characters that they played on the realms that they played. And they were all Kirin Tor, but one, I think. They were on some scrub server.
When we got into Heroes of the Storm and then Hearthstone and everything, you signed in with your BattleNet account, and and luckily it didn't work, but I'm like, I'm going to log into my old WoW account, see what my stuff's all there, but I couldn't get in, and they made me like call Blizzard, and I had to prove who I was to unlock my stuff, and it was after hours, so they weren't open, but I was that close. I was daylight savings time away from getting back into that game.
Yeah, it's so, like, what it offers just scratches the itch perfectly for that experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really good. And I also play Elder Scrolls Online, also play Rifts. And I think that Rifts and Elder Scrolls Online are maybe better games than WoW, but there's something about WoW, and I think it's the community. Even when people are like shitting on people because they're drawn aggro in dungeons, you know, you just can't get that experience with other games. So I don't know. WoW would be the one. Number two, Quake 2, but a very specific add-on, which was called Extreme Quake 2. It added mines and tripwires, and it was just awesome. I played the crap out of this. There was a local server in Toronto called Laz's Lair, and I used to play it probably 3 or 4 hours a day, every day, for about 4 years.
Quake 2, never been mentioned.
No, that's a first timer.
It's a really good, really good mod. And not Quake 2, just this...
The extreme mod.
And it was weird because it was almost like a guild before there were MMOs that I played. But you'd log on and there would be the same 20 people night after night, played with the same people. And I still remember a lot of their names, and I found one of them on a forum a couple years ago, Sergeant Frag, and he was asking if anybody still played Quake 2 Extreme Mod. And I'm like, I'm here, buddy. We got to get together sometime. Deus Ex, Human Revolution.
I figured you were going to say something along those lines.
Really like that game. And there's some games that you play for certain reasons, right? The game plays... You know, it's okay. It's kind of aggravating sometimes. Like, you want to do a stealth, you want to knock them out, and you end up eviscerating them or something, or you trip an alarm and you lose your, you know, like a fox. But for that one, it was just the experience of virtually being that guy in that world. Like, I want to live in that world. And I think that that's the draw, right? You know, when I think about where I want to live in 20 years, if I was like 40 years old, I want to be Adam Jensen in that world.
Yeah.
So that's three.
Now's when you start to regret
it. Yeah. You're like, oh, damn.
No,
like,
no, I'm pretty confident in those. Yeah. Four, Zelda 2, Link's Adventure.
Common. Zelda's a common thread.
Yeah, but all the other ones, I think, are kind of garbage compared to that. So it's just that first one. And last one.
See, this is the thing, because it's like, it's either I can't think of one or I'm choosing between three.
Well, you know, there was a game for the TurboGrafx-16 that I played the crap out of, and it was a good party game before there were really party games. So the TurboGrafx-16 actually had this hub you could plug into, because it only had one controller port. And if you wanted to play with a friend, you had to go out and buy this like $100 hub that allowed you to add three more ports.
So did Apple make the TurboGrafx?
I was going to say, yeah, back in the day, no, DLC.
It was actually NEC, and they made three. Only two came to North America. The Duo had the CD, and the TurboGrafx had the little Hudson cards. They looked like credit cards. But there was a game for it called Dungeon Explorer, and it was one of those isometric
games.
Like the old school Shadowrun game. And that with four friends was awesome. And I had it, I was in my early 20s. You and three friends getting drunk playing Dungeon Explorer was like when we were 15 years old getting drunk playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. The combat was faster because it was like pew, pew, pew. And there were power-ups, so your thief would get faster. And if you didn't die, you'd just keep getting faster and faster and faster. And your fighter would get faster and faster. It was a good game. So those would be my five.
Yeah, you know, it's you had actually, going back to WoW, you had kind of told me in passing about ESO, and I picked it up for my wife on the Steam Christmas sale, and she is very strictly a single-player gamer. She'll play couch games and stuff like that, but very strictly single-player. And I actually got to witness her first MMO, like, moment. So I was just... I think I was just cleaning up or something like that. She was playing. I was just around. And I heard her kind of like saying out loud, I wonder, what the, like that kind of thing. And so I walked over and I could tell there was an event going on just because I know games enough that I was like, oh, there's something going on. You should go check that out. In the distance, there was this big black cloud or something. And it was,
oh, yeah, they're anchor points.
Yeah, and it, like,
yeah, those are awesome.
Big, whoa, 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 shooting this big thing down like a big god beam going up. And I was like, well, you should go check that out. And so sure enough, there's all these people running towards it. And she's like, just kind of like, well, I don't know if I have to fight all these people. I'm not strong enough. And so she's like literally tucked in behind this tree about 50 yards away from everybody else.
That's hilarious.
Just like kind of eyeballing what's going on. And it's like the new kid at daycare, you know, and just like kind of trying to see what's going on. Sure enough, this, you know, mini boss or something like that spawned. And then it was this big sweep. Apparently they'd all get loot or XP or something would happen if everybody joined together and fought this thing. And I watched it happen. She went from just watching and like, she's breathing deep. She's trying to figure out what's going on. And I watched her poke out and shoot a single arrow. Pew! And it just like shot the arrow over and it hit the guy. And
two.
Yeah. And like, I watched it happen. And she shot another one. Now she's walking towards and like the shoulders are, you know, broadening. And I'm like, yeah, get in there. I'm like out in the background rooting her on. Go be a part of the team. Yeah. This is why I bought this for you.
It's like watching your kid like start playing with the other kids at the park or something. Like,
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you do it with trepidation. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I didn't get wiped out.
Yeah, yeah. You can do it. She's like a level 3 archer or something. I think she's a wood elf. And just that single... Shot the one arrow.
I miss games like that because, I mean, we, on Monday night game night when DB gets together online and we play games together, there's very few games that we play where team, especially team versus X, is super important because we'll play games like Shell Shock or like name any of the games we play where it's more a matter of we're all playing single player together.
Yeah.
There's something about MMOs, like I love doing raids in WoW. I was like a healing priest, and it was my job to keep that tank and the DPS
you
alive.
You always play the healer.
Because if they die, it's on me. So when I'm playing, like, and there's very few games we play. Rocket League only almost kind of scratches that level of itch.
Yeah.
And I imagine if we all made the agreement to be like, all right, let's give WoW a try, or one of its equivalents. Bye-bye. Like, we'll be right into it. Because there's just that thing about, even at work now, I mean, at least in the jobs I've had, all the jobs I've had have been part of a team, but we all work in our own office separately. there's not a lot of things where you're all working together to, like, you know, accomplish a goal as a team all working together. And you were right when you say that there may be better games out there than WoW, but none of them scratch the itch the way that WoW does. And the only fear...
You got him. See this?
And here's why I won't go back.
He's going to start come out to jits, Wyatt.
Yeah, here's why I won't go back, or at least why I haven't gone back. You know when you watch, like, your favorite movie as a kid, and you watch it as an adult, and you realize all the plot holes and how the dialogue is shit, and it's like, that guy's wearing a watch, but it's supposed to be the 1400s or something like that? I think I've been away from WoW long enough that it may have changed enough that I'll play it and it will tarnish my memories of what it was back in 2008.
There's only one way to find out.
And that's why I haven't done it.
So the
and because you guys won't play with me.
The new expansion people are comparing to the Burning Crusade experience.
And that's,
so you quit during Wrath.
So the winter, that's Wrath of the Lich King, right?
Yeah,
the winter?
Northrend.
So here's and here's one of the reasons why. One, I moved out of my parents' house and had my own place, so I didn't have to stay confined to my bedroom.
I can see it happening.
See, yeah, stop it. But
the thing, you'll get that free week, and he'll be like, yeah. "Oh, I'll just see."
It's already pre-downloaded,
and that's how it starts.
I'll just see.
Yeah.
I remember, because it was a long time between expansions. You know, I had enough time where I was late to the party. On the most recent one, when you could go to level 60. I can't remember what one it was.
That was vanilla.
Oh, okay.
Because Burning Crusade was 70, Wrath of the Lich King was 80.
Gotcha.
So Cataclysm was 85.
So I didn't have that one. I remember I left when you could go to 80. And I remember being on my server, one of the top raiding holy priests, where it was like, if I said I was looking for a thing and they looked me up, 18 invites, here we go. Because when I worked nights... And I lived in a house that probably didn't have this much square footage. And I'm, you know, four people in my house. It was headphones on and, hey, you guys ready to do some raiding tonight? Because it's 2 a.m. and like a paper thin wall and everyone's asleep. And so I'd play for 9 hours, go to bed and go back to work, right? So I remember getting the, going and getting, you had to go and get the CD to install the expansion. And I was about 2 or 3 weeks late because I was waiting for the paychecks to start stacking up. And I remember taking the boat ride over. And I get in the boat, and it's like loading, and it gives you the FMV and all the cinematics and everything like that. And I land, and there's a bunch of other people landing. And then you just kind of walk off the boat, and it's like, oh, look, there's like a snow hare or something. And you go, whack, whack. And a pair of green shoulders dropped, and they were like 4 points better than the ones I had spent 1,000-some-odd hours rating for. And I'm like, I'm done. That was it. That was over. Yeah.
And that happens with every expansion. But this one, I actually kept my gear a long time.
See, that's I like that. The grind is what sucks you in.
Yeah, and it's such a long grind. So you know how you had to do attunement for Burning Crusade?
Yep.
It's kind of like that now. And I'm not able to get into any... And I've been playing a lot since the new expansion came out in the fall. And I haven't got to Exalted Rep with this one faction that you need to do to even start the end game. So nobody's flying yet. Nobody's doing anything. Oh, it's just a bunch of people running around with battered wife syndrome almost because the game has beat them so bad.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like in some of those things, it's almost like sadistic because it's like, you must bring one magical pine cone to the blah, blah, blah. And you can only give them to them one at a time and it increases your rep by one. And you need to get your rep up to like 8,000. And then you have to kill these little things that have like HP for days. And it's like a 15% chance to drop.
Have you not played WoW?
No, never.
Wow.
You know, okay, you want me to tell you a secret? This is the conversation we had over the Christmas break. Because we had, my son is old enough now so that it's not that we have more time. It's just that the time we have isn't spent just shadowing and hovering because he's going to break his head on everything.
Right.
Like
fall down the stairs.
Yeah, he does his own kind of
drink
thing.
Drink the bleach.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so that said, when he goes to bed, now we have time after he goes to bed and we can kind of play our games. And my wife was saying, you know what? We were thinking about playing Magic. And I was like, well, I mean, Magic is good, but it's almost like Hearthstone where it's like, I'll go crazy on it. Then it loses it for me, and I kind of fall out of love.
I'm already burnt out of it over the last 4 weeks.
and I'm sick of it. And then I rediscover it again a couple years later, and I'm like crazy about it. And she says to me, and this is an all, we're making our teas. This is how you know it's for real. Yeah. We're upstairs making our teas.
There's no time for triviality when tea is being made.
We're not in my house. We're about to separate, and that's when, like, the joke at our place is, you know, most husband and wife dynamic, you know, it's kind of, well, I'm going to go play video games. Well, you know, why don't you watch this show first? Mm-mm. We make a tea, and when you hear that clink, 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 clink of the spoon stirring, it's bye. I'll see you tomorrow. And she says, just floated it out there. So, have you ever looked at WoW? And I turn around, I'm like, listen, that's a very serious conversation.
Yeah.
You can't, first of all, I've told multiple people that I know my personality. And I have responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like, I have stuff I gotta do. And if I start getting into WoW, all of this getting up at 5 in the morning to study for these courses is gonna very quickly turn into, wow, I mean, just 30 minutes. I'll study until my oatmeal's finished, and I'll play while I'm eating my oatmeal.
Yeah, your reaction when I watched you say that story, what she could have said was, so I've heard a lot of good things about math.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, listen. And the other thing is, we don't have a game that, my wife's not a big shooter fan, but she watched me play The Division, for example, and The Division's more third-person RPG-ish than shooter. And she's like, I could get into that. We don't have any games that we play together. Like, you got to understand that, like, what you're suggesting here is not just something you dip into just to see how the water feels before you spend some time poolside. That's not how it works here. You know, and so it's...
But it could.
It didn't. No. Is with both your eyeballs, and they go through.
Bill, are you ready to give you the real lowdown, like on a Bill Wyatt level?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you just want to run around and just kill monsters and collect gear,
yeah,
you can do that if you want to, and then you can just log off whenever.
Uh-huh.
But know that once you've gotten the best gear you can get just on your own, you're going to want to start raiding. And I remember waking up when I worked nights and I'd have my time off, so I had, like, you know, 14 hours to kill. I'd wake up at, like, 11:30 p.m., 12 o'clock was raid time, so we'd all get into the channel. We have a half hour, we kind of run through our game plan. And shit, did 6 a.m. come quick. 6 hours anyway. Just how many wings of Karazhan or whatever we were doing at back in the day? Just how many wings can we get done? Let's do the whole damn thing. And then the good loot drops. And you've got 40 people who have to figure out who gets the rolls for the game. Well, I need it. Well, I want it for my blah, blah, blah.
You know what? Watch this.
6 hours go by.
This is the power of producing a podcast. Because I control the fader and the music, I can end the episode and stop being subjected to this peer pressure.
What do you say, Brian? I give him about 3 weeks till he tries it.
There is a free trial.
I mean, ultimately.
Do you want an invite?
All he has to do. You invite him tonight, and I want to watch what happens.
All he has to do is sync something in, and when I'm tapping, say, are you going to play?
Yeah, because I can end this. Just like you control when the podcast episode ends, I control when your life
ends. Because believe me, you're going to need this shoulder at work tomorrow. Internet, my goodness, these guys. My hands are sweating. I'm starting to get all fidgety.
Oh, I'm installing WoW when I get home.
It is a lot of fun.
I'm not even going online.
I've never had more fun playing a game in my life. Hands down. And that's why I'm so, like, preservational about it.
And it's such a different game too. Like what you were talking about, the loot, it's different. It's individual now. So you don't have to fight for loot. If you are a tank, you get a tank drop. If you get a drop, you don't always get a drop.
Oh god. Very important question.
Monday night game night. There's five.
No, shut up for a minute. Shut up. If I kill a baddie and he drops some loot and it's glowing loot, good loot, does everybody get that loot, or is it one piece of loot and we all have to share it?
No, it's individual loot now. It used to be that all raids had a loot master, or you could do it free for all where anybody could steal your
stuff.
So
you get loot, I get loot, he gets loot?
Right, and it's all individual. So because builds are so specific now, right? But it used to be people would steal. They would call them ninja looters. Hunters could use any weapon.
Fuck hunters.
So they would take anybody. Anything, like a healing staff would drop, hunter, take it. They would roll need on
it. I need
it
for my tank pet.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
It was savages. Crazy.
What savages. Do you play as? What's your go-to?
Human tank. Paladin.
Paladin tank.
Yeah, which is like when I play games, so there used to be, you would do the psychological assessment of people according to the class they pick in D&D. So like the shifty guy always plays a rogue, right? Like, I always try to play in even video games because I think that you have a responsibility to not deviate too far
That's
from
right.
yourself when
you're
you play
natural
these games.
At it.
Yeah. So I always played a human because what do I know about being an orc? And I always think people that play demi-humans are like emo anyway. I was going to ask you, are you Alliance or Horde?
I was Alliance.
But guys,
okay,
I just
see?
Lost so much weight.
So
guys.
That's good because whenever I hear somebody's like, Horde, I'm like,
I know, and
emo.
I was going to ask you, and I'm like, because everyone always says, like, Horde's the only way.
No.
So I'm like, this guy's real into WoW. I wonder if he plays Horde or Alliance. And when you said human, it didn't even register to me. Whoa, he plays Alliance?
Yeah, Alliance for life, man. I'm a human. And how could I play an elf? I'm a human. I could fake it, but what do I know about being an elf?
3-week countdown. Bill will be on.
Internet, here's the thing. Okay. I just wanted to talk to my coach on a podcast. That's all I wanted to do.
And
we didn't talk about we didn't talk about jits at all.
My name's Bill. Come down to the Devil's Bench, please. I don't want to play WoW. You know where to get a hold of us. You know where to get a hold of me. Email me, I guess, because I'm not on a whole lot of social media these days. Just give me a couple weeks. I'll be back into it.
No, you won't. You'll be playing World of Warcraft.
Who are you? Stop it.
I'm a holy priest on the Malagos server, if my account still exists. And leave me alone, you can't get at me. Tweet at Bill.
Brian, Coach Rumble, do you have any social media stuff you want to shout out? Any websites? Anything at all?
People can find the club on Facebook. It's the Rumble Academy. They should be able to find it there.
Come out for your gauntlet.
Members are there. Yeah, if you're in the Brantford area, come out. I think everybody should try Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at least once. It's kind of no gray area. You'll love it or hate it, but you won't know until you try. That's about it. I'm on Twitter at Brian Rumble. I was in early, so I got my own name.
I have a challenge to throw down.
What's that? 15 seconds.
Spell your email address. PR0L3 at thedevilsbench.com.
Yeah.
If 7 people email you and tell you to play WoW, will you install
it? How long
and try
do I get?
3 weeks, because I've been running with 3 weeks.
No. The reverse. I need more time to explain, and I'm the producer, so I get to do that.
You can't tell anyway. It's all mama jumbo.
No, wait. If 7 people email me, because you'll go crazy on social media.
I don't have social media. But Brian does.
Okay.
It's no, that's just say it at the club.
No, that's cheating.
If
that's
7
cheating.
People, one of 2 challenges, you pick the one, okay? 2 challenges, you pick the one. Just say yes so I can keep
it. Okay, if 7 people email me, PR0L3 at thedevilsbench.com. If 7 people email me and say, God.
Just give it a try, Bill.
Then I'll at least try it. I'll give it the college try,
that's
too.
That's it. That's all yeah. we need. And I'll call Blizzard and unlock my goddamn account if it still exists.
Now my stomach's all upset.
Yes. Oh, I'm ready.
They don't delete them because that's the carrot that they dangle. Like, if you come back, all your shit's here.
My palms are sweating, knees weak, arms
mom spaghetti.
Something like
that. Oh, man. Well, it was good. This is the last episode of the Benchcast, everybody, because Wednesday nights are raid nights.
What are you just about to have a baby? How are you going to play now?
Whatever. I got a wife.
That's not his problem.
Yeah. Well, honey, mine don't work, so you got to feed him.
How well? At least I'll be able to spend some quality time with my wife.
Because tanks need healers.
That's right.
My goodness.
She could be a hunter and use bow and arrow in that game.
And it's both nodding at me. Internet has been a slice.
Yeah, just the silent nod.
It's another one for a whole week. I'm doing first aid today and tomorrow, so we'll talk about that next week. Do me a favor and be nice to each other so I don't have to find one of you unconscious on the street, okay? Come out to the Rumble Academy on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights for a gauntlet. I promise it's a lot of fun. Best thing you'll ever do in your whole entire adult life. I promise. And don't email me or I'll hate you forever.
7.